We read the scriptures tonight in the beautiful chapter, John chapter 16. John 14, 15, and 16 are the sermon or the address that Jesus gives to his disciples on Thursday evening of the Passion Week, shortly after the Lord's Supper. And we're going to read chapter 16. If you just page over to the last verse of chapter 14, the last words of verse 31, "Arise, let us go hence." So it could well be that chapter 14 was spoken in the upper room, and then chapters 15 and 16, and then the prayer of chapter 17 was spoken as they left the upper room for the Garden of Gethsemane. So the Lord could well have been walking with them in the night from the upper room to Gethsemane when he spoke these words. "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues, yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient or necessary for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he, that is the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Albeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, What is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me. And because I go to the Father. They said therefore, What is this that he saith? A little while. We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him. And he said unto them, Do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said? A little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me. Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your joy shall be turned into, your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto ye have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name. And I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These are the words of our text tonight. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. May God bless his scripture, our Lord's words to our heart. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, in five words, Jesus brings to us the message tonight of his ascension. I have overcome the world. Words which take into a full account the reality of our present life as believers and as church in the midst of the world, for in this world we have tribulation. Words which promise to us peace. Peace that will be found in him. Words which call us to courage and boldness. Be of good cheer. Be of good courage. Don't be afraid in this present world. Not only will you have peace, but I announce to you my victory for your sakes. I have overcome the world. Not a nation, not a part of the earth. I have overcome the world. All things are now subject to me, for I am ascended into heaven. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have this good tradition of gathering together tonight to celebrate the great work of our redemption of our Lord's ascension. We gather tonight not to celebrate his birth, not to celebrate his death on Calvary, not to celebrate his resurrection on Sunday morning, but we celebrate this, that after 40 days of his resurrection, he was actually lifted off the earth in his glorified human body, and he was brought in that body into heaven itself, there to appear, says the scriptures, in the presence of God for us, then to sit upon the right hand of God, and all power and authority from his Father to be given to him to rule over all the earth by his power to accomplish God's will and by his grace for his church. Our salvation, then, as it has been accomplished in Christ, our salvation is in Christ. That salvation is now with God. Therefore, our salvation is secure. It is in the heavenly places. Our head, Christ Jesus, is in heaven, and we, being united to him by faith, will be brought to him to receive the fullness of that glory. And therefore his ascension is a glorious event. So glorious is this event of the ascension, so proper is it for us to be here tonight, that this event that Jesus does in his ascension will only be outshined by one other event. An event that you will not miss when he comes again and fulfills his words, I will see you again and your joy shall be full. So we rejoice. And now we hear from the Lord's own words for the Scriptures, because this event is so important, the Scriptures are filled with it in both Old and New Testament. The Scriptures abound with this truth. But tonight we want to hear it from his own words. What does it mean, Lord, that you have ascended into heaven? It means this: I have overcome the world. We could not think of a more precious portion of God's word than John 14 through 16, when our tender shepherd speaks as he stands under the shadow of the cross and he's on the verge of Calvary to make that supreme sacrifice for us. In chapter 16 that we read, as we read that carefully, we saw that he was intentionally preparing the disciples, you and me, for the fact that he personally was going to go away, that he had come to this world, and that he was going to return to his Father. That although he would be back at a different day in his return in judgment, and though he would give the Holy Spirit to abide within us, he was going to go away. And that was very troubling. It was not only troubling for the disciples that night to know that Jesus was speaking of the fact that he would be betrayed and that he would be abandoned and that he would be delivered over unto death, but now he's telling them, I'm going away and I will not be back. That seemed all wrong to them. It seems wrong to us. Why did he go away? We need him on earth. And it filled their hearts with sorrow and with confusion. But the Lord speaks to them, and he speaks to us. And he says, you must not misunderstand. It's necessary. Because as I go away, I give the fullness of my salvation to the Holy Spirit, who will be the Comforter. And he will come to you and guide you into all of my truth. He is the treasure, and he's the treasure because in him I come to you in the way you need. You do not need me to stand physically by your side. It is more important that by the Holy Spirit I be in you tonight. By the Spirit to open your heart to understand, and by faith to be united to me. But I want you to know that as I go to the Father and I leave this world, I don't leave as a failure. I have overcome the world and I rule it for you. Let's look at our situation in this world. Let's see, secondly, Jesus' victory over the world and our calling to have courage. Jesus, our ascended Lord Jesus, is aware. He makes plain to us in our text that he is aware of the situation in which he has left us in this world, and he is fully aware of the place of his church in a hostile, unbelieving world. He says, in the world you shall have tribulation. He knows that. That was not a prediction. That's not a prediction of some long-bearded, gray-haired prophet who's trying to make a prediction about the future. That's Jesus himself In this world, he says to you and to the church, you inescapably will have tribulation. The word tribulation is a reference to especially the persecution of the church and of the believer by the world, but it's a reference to also the chastening trials of God upon us. It's a word that means to be broken, to be crushed. You will be crushed. You will be broken. It's a word that means to press together, to squeeze. It's a word that refers to someone who has all kinds of things coming at him from all kinds of directions at once. He's overwhelmed. Jesus says, this will be the reality of your life as belonging to me. You will have tribulation in this world. And the world there is the system of this fallen world as it stands in opposition to God. And so what he simply means to say is, the world in which I leave you, I'm going to heaven, I leave you in a world, that world will seek to undo everything I have done in you. That world will seek to destroy you and to get you back into the kingdom of the world from which I delivered you in my death and resurrection. So, says Jesus, I have spoken to you these things, that in me ye might have peace. You will desperately then need my peace. You'll need my peace in every situation of your life. You'll need that because of the reality of your life now of being in tribulation. Notice he says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my peace, that in me ye might have peace. He's making a connection between the speaking of his words and the granting of his peace. They go together. Now what are those things that he spoke? Well, we could say, the things that he spoke to us is the entire Word of God. That would be true. We could say that, yes, but specifically it's these beautiful chapters, 14, 15, and 16. Yes, but the reference, these things that I have spoken unto you, is, again, especially what he had been saying there about what we can expect in his absence from us as he goes to heaven, namely tribulation. He began to talk about that in chapter 15, 18 and following. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. And he talks there about the fact that we as servants cannot consider ourselves to be above our Lord. And if they have persecuted me, verse 20 of chapter 15, they will persecute you. All these things, all of this persecution and tribulation, they will do unto you for my name's sake, because they're against me, because they know not Father, him who has sent me. And then again in chapter 16, very similar words, these things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. And then he talks to them about what they're going to experience. They're going to put you out of the synagogues. The time will come that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. You will live, he says, in a world more and more that will believe according to its culture and its thinking that to get rid of you as Christians, to get rid of you as belonged to me, is a morally good thing to do. That the problem really is you. They that persecute you will think they do God, their conception of God, service. And they will do that because they have not known the Father nor me. So he's speaking here of our present situation. And he says to us that this is going to be for us difficult, especially for two reasons. In the first verse, I have spoken to you about these things that you should not be offended. And he means there that you are not disappointed when you face this, when you face your tribulations and your trials, that you don't become disappointed in me, and that you begin to say, well, if he holds the reins of heaven and of the universe in his hands, why, I confess his name, why does he allow me to suffer so? We may expand that to our lives, which is very common. If he's in heaven, ruling over everything for me, why does he allow that to happen? And we become offended. And then secondly, not only is the danger that we become offended, disenchanted, but that we lose peace. And that we become distraught and deflated. And so he says, in me, I speak these words to you, that in me ye might have peace. Not a worldly peace, but really he means there, my peace. He said in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And really he was speaking of that peace, that in me he might have peace. He was speaking of that peace in verse 32 when he foretold that the disciples that night were going to forsake him and leave him alone. And then he says, I'm not alone because the Father is with me. That's Christ's peace. Christ's peace was in his tribulation, the Father is with me. I will give you that peace so that when you are beaten for my sake, when you are abused, when everything around you in your life is falling apart, when you're filled with anxiety, then remember the things that I have spoken unto you, my word, and I will give you peace. And now note the contrast, in me, that in me ye might have peace, in the world ye shall have tribulation. So there's the contrast. We will be in the tribulation, we will be in those trials, in the world, but in him, we will have peace. We will be in those tribulations. The Lord is very upfront. There are no hidden clauses in discipleship. That's what he means to say to us. Discipleship, I tell you what you can expect. And this is what you can expect. I will give you my peace in the midst of these things, but this is what you can expect as my disciple. You may expect tribulation because of your identity to me by the hand of the world. It's unavoidable. It will come. It will come to you. If you walk that Christian walk of life, if you live that spiritual life, if you do that with your family, if you are the same Monday through Saturday as we appear on Sunday, if we live that Christian life, then you will experience, it's unavoidable, you will experience rejection. You will experience rejection, especially if you identify the message, if you speak the message that I have spoken, that I alone am the Savior, and there is no other Savior but me. If you speak of, as I have, of my Father's predestination, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, of the Father's sovereignty, if you speak plainly as I did of hell, of sin, and that I alone am the Savior, you will experience tribulation. And not only will you experience that tribulation, but you will experience all that will come to you in your Father's will, all the heartaches, all the chastisements, all that process of purification that God sends us through all of these trials. This is what you may expect. Do you belong to Him? Do we? Yes. In the world, in this world, you may expect tribulation. As a Christian, and as the hand of the Father, as He is purifying you, none of you will be exempt from that. But be of good courage, for I have overcome the world. He is announcing His victory there. He's announcing in those five words the sum of what it means that He has ascended into heaven. I have overcome the world. That's what the ascension means. As I said, the world refers to the system of the fallen world, the organized world of unbelief, the kingdom of darkness, which is led by the prince of darkness, the devil himself, which plots Psalm 2 against God. I have overcome that world. I have defeated that kingdom. I have defeated that kingdom. I have overcome it so that now that kingdom has no power. It's my servant. And how has He defeated that kingdom? Well, we know from the Scriptures that He defeated that kingdom first of all upon the cross when He died for our sins and secured our redemption from that kingdom. He defeated that kingdom in His resurrection when He arose with new life and the power to create that life in us to bring us out of that kingdom. But now it is crowned. It is crowned in the ascension because in the ascension He has given all rule so that He rules over the whole world, good and bad, evil and righteous. And He rules over it all for the kingdom of God and for our salvation and for our good. That word overcome, the Greek word nikeo, we get the English word, and you'll recognize it the moment I say it, Nike, tennis shoes, Nike, we get it from that, and it means victory. And He's saying that by virtue of my death and resurrection, and now royal entrance into heaven, as I go away to be with my Father, I have conquered the world. And so He is announcing to us tonight that as the enthroned Christ, He is the one who has accomplished the will of God for our salvation, the covenant of God. And note with me how He says it, I have. He puts it in the past, even though the cross, when He speaks these words, it's Thursday night, the day before Good Friday. Even though it's that time and the cross is the next day, and then 3 days later the resurrection, and then 40 days later the ascension, He doesn't say, I am about to. I shall soon overcome, but I have. And the Savior there is resting where you and I may rest. He's resting in the eternal counsel of God. He is resting and He is confident that God will do all His good pleasure and through the obedience of His Son, He will accomplish that which He has purposed in His heart, and it shall be done. He is absolutely confident in His Father's will and in His counsel. He does not say, maybe, I sure will try to overcome this world. I will. I have overcome this world. That's also true for us. This is the power of God's grace, also in our lives, through Jesus Christ. Not working in you to make you a robot, not to make you a mere machine, but His grace, His powerful grace, working in you so that we have the assurance in God's grace working in us to will and to do of His pleasure. We have the assurance of our salvation. We read in 1 John these familiar words, chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, "For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world." John is always remembering what Jesus said. Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Faith has a confidence in God's will and good pleasure, that God will keep me and God will preserve me, not with sickly indifference, not with carelessness, but with that living grace that He implants in my heart. And then secondly, not only gives to us the assurance of the completion, the certainty of the completion of the will of God of our salvation, but then assurance, as I've been saying, assurance that concerning the future, we're not afraid of, we don't speak of fate, but that we have the assurance, specifically we have the assurance that the power of Jesus Christ as He rules the world will work all things for my good and bring me to glory. The assurance that, as a theologian said, there's not a maverick atom in the world. There's not one little atom that is off on its own, but they are all subject to Christ. I have overcome the world. Germs, cancer, all things, He rules over them all for the purpose of God's glory, to attain God's will, and for our eternal good. And so we say, Romans 8, "Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation," as in our text, shall that separate us? Distress, persecution, famine, peril, sword, will any of this separate us from Him? No, nothing. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I have overcome the world. We have the assurance that our salvation will be kept. We have the assurance that all things in the hands of Jesus will work for our good. Dear people of God, let's hear His message. I have overcome the world. All things are now for your sakes. Therefore, we are called to courage. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Now that good cheer is not good happiness or so, but it means good courage. Be of good courage, because I have overcome the world. A courage that is rooted in the faith of the ascended Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord says to you and me, don't fear, but trust. Be strong. Don't bend your knee in weakness. Don't despair. Don't mope. Don't Hang it all up. Don't say, what's the use? But be strong, be courageous, be bold, be confident, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because now you know that your labor, whatever you do, will never be in vain in the Lord. Ye serve the Lord Christ. I have overcome the world. We're serving Him. Therefore, be filled with courage. Do you believe? Do you and I believe tonight in the ascended Lord Jesus Christ? Do we, with Stephen, when he's being stoned, look up and see the glory of God and Jesus Christ at the right hand of God? Do we, by faith, do we live our life that way, wherever we're at, in our minds, in the back of our minds, soon into the front of our minds? I serve the ascended Christ. All things are in His hand. I may have courage. I may have strength. Do you see Him? Then, beloved, let's not sink low. Let's not look inside. Let's not look out and see all that is against us. But let us have good courage. Our Master is the Supreme King. Let's be patient in our sufferings when the Lord gives us a long way for us to walk. Let us trust Him when we don't immediately see His wisdom. Let us abide in Him. Let us patiently wait upon Him in great courage, in great confidence. When we are forsaken, when we are alone, when we have to care for our children alone, let us be confident. The Lord, the King of the universe, is my friend. He will take care of me. When we are troubled, when we are anxious, when rest is far from us, when we are agitated, when we are bearing a heavy load, let us lift our eyes. Oh, lift our eyes. And let us see our ascended Lord. I have overcome the world. Nothing can come to you apart from my will. It must serve Father's wise purposes. And when you are tempted, and when that besetting sin, that sin that you fed instead of starved, and now it's grown, and it constantly cries to be served, and you despair that you'll ever cast it from you, look up to Him who rules over all things. You belong to Him. He's your good shepherd. He's your Savior. Look to Him. Do you believe the victorious, all-conquering ascension of Jesus Christ, Lord over all the world? We say yes. Then let's act like it. Let's live like it. Let's carry ourselves in faith by God's grace in a way that is honorable to Him. Let us be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And so tonight we are celebrating. Tonight we are embracing by faith with both hands the wonderful ascension of Christ. Tonight we have peace in this world, because we know who is controlling this world and where it will go. We have peace, the only peace that He can give, the only peace there is. May the sorrows and the crosses and the losses and the disappointments and the struggles that we must now go through, that the world and the devil wants to have us cast down, let all these things instead make us only stronger in our hold upon Christ. May we hold fast to our King, who has said, "In this world you will have tribulation. I will give you my peace, and I will say to you this, I have overcome the world. Therefore, be strong." May God grant that. Amen. Lord, encourage us. May the realities of our salvation be realities to us. May the works of Jesus Christ not be found in a volume on a book, tucked away in our shelf, but may be the living power of our lives in Jesus Christ. May we know that we belong to the ascended King who has overcome to thy glory and for our good all things and rules over them for our benefit. Apply to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.